And with that, let's bring up our final teller, who is a singer-songwriter who's particularly skilled at crafting some of the saddest contemporary songs this side of the Mississippi. Born and raised in Milwaukee, she released her first album, I've Read Sanger, in 2007, and she's currently at work on her second album, due out in the spring of 2011. So please welcome Lisa Gatewood.
I was in second grade when I realized that I didn't fit in at Cumberland Elementary School in Whitefish Bay. The year before, I had been perfectly content living in the Whitefish Bay townhouses with my mom, my brother, and my sister, and spending every single lunch hour with the guinea pig in the school library. But second grade changed all that. That was the year that I found out that the other kids in school referred to the townhouses where I lived as Ghetto Bay. It was housing for the financially challenged who just needed to technically live in Whitefish Bay in order to qualify for the school system. And after an unfortunate allergic reaction, I was forbidden from seeing the school guinea pig anymore, lest my eyes swell up. But I desperately wanted to fit in. I wanted to get to know these kids. And so I started to imagine, like, how this could happen. We'd all get involved in the same extracurricular activity, and then, you know, we'd have ice cream socials at each other's mansions, and I would just tell them that mine was under renovation, always. But when I started to look at the activities that they were involved in, they didn't really suit me. All the popular girls in my class were involved in soccer or gymnastics. And as you might imagine, I was a rather plump child, not one inclined to run if I could help it at all. So I needed to find an activity that promoted sisterhood but didn't involve spandex in any way. And that's when my second grade teacher, Mrs. Brown, handed out the single most important piece of literature I had ever received. It was a sign-up form for brownies. It was like the mothership was calling me home, and the mothership was the Girl Scouts of America. Brownies was awesome. You got a uniform and a handbook, and there was a pledge and a secret handshake, and there were cookies that you could sell, and I thought my mom would probably buy all the cookies, and then I'd get to eat all the cookies. So I ran home after school with the form, and I showed it to my mom when she got home from work, and my mom said, "It's too expensive." And it was. There were a lot of expenses involved. There were fees, there was costs for the uniform. So I was disappointed, but I understood. I knew she wasn't doing it to be mean or anything. So a few weeks passed. All my friends were signed up for brownies. They were all getting their uniforms and showing them off at school. And then I had my eighth birthday. My grandparents took my mom and my brother and my sister and I out to lunch at Denny's over on Port Washington Road. And I received two packages that year, which was different than the normal one. I opened up the first package, and inside was the Brownies handbook. And I thought there was some miscommunication, that they hadn't heard that I wasn't allowed to do brownies, and that we'd have to return the book. And I didn't want to hurt their feelings. So I opened up the second package, and inside was a little brown jumper, and a button-down white shirt with the Girl Scouts insignia on it, and of course, my sash that had my troop number 777 already sewn on. And I looked up at my mom and I said, "Can I sign up now? We don't have to pay for any of this stuff." It couldn't have been more than a week before Girl Scouts started. I loved Girl Scouts Day. You got to wear your uniform to school. And I was one of those weird kids who always wanted to wear a uniform for some reason. And finally, I got to. We all met after school in this classroom in the basement of Cumberland, and it seemed like every girl in my second grade class was in brownies, including Jordan Kay. Jordan Kay's mom was our troop leader, and Jordan was one of those gymnastics girls. She was also a brownie, and now we were sisters. I was sisters with the gymnastics girls and with the soccer girls and with the rich girls. We wore the same dress, we knew the same handshake, we took the same pledge, and it wasn't long before we had all earned the same badge. It was the math fun badge, a little white triangle edged in orange with these mathematical symbols inside. I was so proud. Weeks passed, more activities were completed, and eventually I had to miss a day of brownies. And when I returned, all the girls had a few new badges on. So I asked Mrs. K about them, and she said that she had handed them out the week before. She didn't bring them today. She'd have to catch me up. More weeks passed, more activities were completed. Again, I missed a day of brownies, and when I came back, all the girls had new badges, and again, Mrs. K said, "I'll have to catch you up." It was an early spring on a brownies day. I wore my uniform to school, and at lunch, I sat down with all the other brownies girls at the lunch table. And Jordan K made an announcement that was clearly not news to anyone at the table but me. "My mom says she doesn't like you." "Why?" I said. "She says you talk too much." It's true, I did talk too much. It was all over my report cards from the time I was in first grade until I graduated college. Lisa gets good grades, but she talks too much. My seat was constantly moved in elementary school. So I look around at these girls who have all heard this from Jordan probably a million times by now, that I'm the odd duck out and I'm just now learning. And I look at all their beautifully adorned sashes, and I look down at my sash, my math fun badge. And it was then that I realized that Mrs. K had been handing out badges when I wasn't there on purpose. Because Mrs. K had no idea this gift that my grandparents had given me, and the way that my family had sacrificed to give me this seemingly simple opportunity, which is why she couldn't find the compassion inside her to look past my childlike, annoying qualities and allow me this one small victory that I so desperately needed. The end of the year came, and I didn't have enough badges to level up to a second year brownie, because apparently you needed more than one. And so I left the Girl Scouts of America. But I did learn some really important lessons while I was there during my 8 months as a brownie. One, you do not get to eat the cookies you don't sell. Two, see, I wasn't one of those kids that thought my parents were perfect. I knew my parents were flawed, always. Sorry, Mom, I know she's here tonight. You're wonderfully flawed. but my misconception was that I thought everyone else's parents were perfect, that I had somehow ended up with the fuzzy end of the lollipop, and I didn't quite know how it had happened. And what I learned in brownies was that Jordan K's mom was flawed. She had a flawed view of the world. She acted in a flawed way. And so, yes, my messed up situation and Jordan K's messed up situation were light years apart, but they were both messed up. And in a really wonderful way, that leveled the playing field for me in Whitefish Bay. I also learned that there are two different kinds of people in this world. There are good people who will lift up the people around them and go out of their way to show compassion and to help. And then there are bitches. And after I left brownies, I knew exactly which one I wanted to be. Thank you. Happy holidays.